Ruben is apparently going to have to hold my hand today and just kind of walk me around. And who jacks with the TVs in here? Who's watching anime?
Oh, wow.
When we leave, somebody apparently comes in here and changes the TVs.
Messing with the TVs in here.
Okay, anyway. 101.7 FM, 710 Kiel. Micah McCarty, Aaron off. Jeff Luce in for Aaron this morning. First thing I want to find out about was the Independence Bowl.
Oh, it was so good.
I couldn't go. It was the middle of a work day for me.
It was an incredible game. I mean, the weather was absolutely perfect. And I tell you what, after talking to Missy the other day, I was curious. You know, I'd asked her about the Wi-Fi, and she had said that they had said, you know, that they'd made some improvements a few years ago. But she said, you know, it's always tough to get signal when you've got that many people. Man, it was clear as day. We were able to to post and to text and all of those things with, you know,
who people asks about Wi-Fi?
I know, yeah.
Well, about Wi-Fi, yeah, at a football game.
Yes, every 25-year-old and then this 160-year-old, yeah, guy. So yeah, we're the only ones. But it was great. It was, and the food options that they had were fantastic. It was really cool because they had several food trucks inside the stadium.
Right.
And
yeah,
so you were able to walk up and get a variety of things. I mean, and one of the things that really surprised me was how easy parking and entry was. I mean, it was super simple. They actually had a QR code that you could scan to pay for parking as you drove in. And which, you know, man, I've been to a million college games, and that's, I haven't run into that anywhere. You know, I mean, they'll have it, but it's really right, designed for season ticket holders and things like that. But, you know, so while we were waiting in line to get in, I scanned the code and then they scanned my phone and I was in. I mean, it was, I would guess that, you know, from the time I left my house, I was probably parking within 15 minutes. I mean, it was crazy. So
I saw a lot of state troopers on the highway.
Yeah, yeah.
On I-20.
Yep, yep.
And I thought, really? Are we looking for tickets?
Oh, yeah. Now,
was it traffic control? And after the third one I saw, I'm like, okay, hopefully they're here looking for traffic, not trying to capitalize like we're
right,
Port Barry,
trying to, yeah,
on the way to an LSU game.
Yeah.
Come on.
No, you know, and actually I only ran across one on 220 as I was driving over. And, you know, and honestly, thank you for letting me go by. But I, you know, because I think I was 75, something like that, in a 70. And, you know, he didn't even bat an eye. So I was thankful for that. But, yeah, no, it seemed like that. They did a lot of crowd control as far as the game goes and where they were facilitating traffic.
Well, that's what I was like. After the third state trooper that I saw on the interstate, I was like, okay, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt and go,
yeah,
they're here for traffic.
Yeah.
They're ready.
And
we're not looking to fleece our visitors.
Right. And it really seemed to be that way. But entry into the game was so crazy good. I mean, they were very efficient. They searched the things they needed to search, and they got you through and all of that.
I couldn't even turn on the TV because, like I said, I was working. I was working yesterday, so I didn't even get a chance to watch it on TV.
Yeah. Well,
how was the crowd good?
Crowd was great. Yeah, we had, you know, it was especially, I mean, obviously Louisiana Tech had a lot of people there.
Okay.
And so that was really great. And then they did the B-52 flyover
for the
kickoff and or for the national anthem, and so that was really nice. I mean, it was just, I'm telling you, it was well done and a great game. I mean, two very evenly matched teams, and you know, the folks from Conway were so kind, and Conway, South Carolina, which,
okay,
you know, is where Coastal Carolina is, and I mean, just they really had a great showing. I mean, you're talking about 1,000 miles that they traveled to be here,
right,
to support,
right,
their team, and they were here. And so it was really nice.
The stadium, from what I saw, I obviously didn't see inside. Stadium looked great.
Yeah. Oh,
they've,
yeah,
been doing a lot of work.
The field is phenomenal. I mean, I'm telling you, because I was watching one of the bowl games, I can't remember who it was earlier, and it was shameful looking at that, you know, that game on TV, because, mm-hmm, you know, the paint was terrible. It was faded. It looked like it had been a long time since,
right,
they had, you know, made any updates. But Independence Bowl Stadium, was that turf looked so good. I mean, I'm telling you, they've done a great job. And, man, huge shout out to Missy Setters. I mean,
and her crew. Yeah.
Yes. I mean, the work that they put in, and I don't know how long that they spend on this particular bowl, but I would guess that it's probably 15 to 18 months. So, 6 months ago, they started planning for 2026, and, they haven't even gotten to the 2025 game yet. I mean, right, they really put in.
So who's in the 2026 game?
Well, I haven't chosen yet. Yeah, I wish my opinion had anything to do with that, but, that is.
I was texting with the Bossier mayor, Tommy Chandler, yesterday, and he was tied up yesterday morning. I was hoping to get in touch with him, and he said, man, heading to the Independence Bowl, got it. And this was earlier in the morning.
Yeah.
He goes, getting my tailgate going. He says, come on out. I was like, oh, man, I wish I could.
And there was so much tailgating going. One of my big mistakes is that the heaviest jacket that I own is a Texans jacket. And the only reason I have a Texans jacket is because I ordered a bunch of stuff from Uline one time and they sent it to me for free, And so,
really?
Yeah. And so
you must order. Oh, you like for camp
for
or
camp.
Something?
Yeah. Okay, yeah. There you and go. So it kind of came as one of those little free gifts that Uline does. And
and for those that don't know, you run Camp Fuego,
yes,
which is huge. It runs all summer.
Huge is probably an overstatement, but we've got 5,000 or 6,000 kids that show up, so
that's huge, dude.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah,
but so we have to order a lot of. We do a ridiculous event on day one. That's the cardboard boat races where we. Kids build boats out of cardboard and tape, and then they get in them and float them across our pool. They race. And so I have to buy a lot of cardboard. And so that's where Uline comes in. But the bad part about wearing a Texans jacket is the fact that people think that I'm a Texans fan. I mean, for them because they're nearby and I grew up in Houston, but they start talking to me about it, and I have no idea. I have no idea what they're talking about. So.
I have a Cincinnati Bengals jersey, and it was years ago, and all I know is the guy, let me see, his name was Still, Devon Still.
Okay.
Devon Still.
Yeah.
And he played for the Bengals, and his daughter, his baby, and I mean, she was a baby, was going through these treatments. Mm. And if you bought a jersey, one of his jerseys through the NFL shop, there was a percentage that would go to his treatment for his daughter.
Yeah.
And Sean Payton bought like 100 of them.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, that's cool. Yeah. And I like, this is way before Joe Burrow. Burrow hadn't even gotten to LSU yet.
Gotcha.
So I ordered one.
Yeah.
Number seven. So I have number 75 Bengals jersey.
Yeah.
And for a long time, when I would wear it, people would look at me because they know I'm diehard Saints fan. And they would look at me like, wait, what? Bengals?
Yeah, right.
And I'd have to say, explain. Okay, this is the story because who wears a defensive Bengals, lineman, right. a lineman jersey?
Yeah, in Louisiana. Yeah.
For the Bengals.
I had a super nice guy walk up to me as we were walking into the game. And he was like, hey, man, we may beat you in the playoffs. And I'm like, and of course, A&M just lost. And I'm like, oh, that's funny, and then he's like, yeah, and then he holds up, he's got a Ravens hoodie, a little skull cap,
and you're wearing Texans,
and I'm wearing Texans. I'm like, oh, he wasn't trying to be ugly, he wasn't mocking my team. He was like, yeah, and I was like, yeah, So I tried my best to play along. So, dude, if you're listening, I'm sorry, I had no idea what we were talking about.
Well, anyway, it was a success.
It was so good.
I'm gonna reach out to Missy. Maybe we can get her on later this morning.
Yeah.
And get a recap and see how they feel. Of course, she may be.
Yeah.
I'm not calling her now. If Aaron were here, Aaron would be texting her. Yeah. You up?
Yeah. Hopefully,
I'm
she
not
is
doing that.
Resting at this point, but yeah. But
I did see the Shreveport Police big. Mobile unit was still out there this morning when I drove by.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm telling you, you felt safe out there. It was really perfect.
Good. Yeah. Good, good, good. I'm looking forward to, I'm hoping to catch maybe a replay or something on TV.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Probably will be one tonight.
Jeff Luce in for Aaron. By the way, later this morning, looking forward to having Mike and Mark Mangum coming in the 7 o'clock hour.
Love those guys.
Twin Blends, Northwest Louisiana History Hunters. 101.7 FM, 710Kiel.com.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
Last day of 2025.
It's crazy. Absolutely crazy.
New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
2025.
Yeah.
I think the opening scene of, gosh, Blade Runner.
Oh, really? Is that the date?
Was that, what year was that when?
Yeah,
I've
seen
remember.
It, yeah, but yeah. I don't really remember the time.
Oh, Los Angeles 2019.
Oh. Got that done before COVID.
I remember when we passed George Orwell's 1984.
Yes. I remember as a kid when, I mean, you know, we were all in, second, third grade. And it all dawned on us that we would be alive for the year 2000. You know, you're like, oh, yeah, okay. People do live to 35. You know, yeah. So we were so shocked.
Well, and I remember I laughed this morning because I was making some notes and I thought, okay, one, at the end of the month, you was like, okay, check your inspection sticker every month. Yeah. Make sure you're good. And then I remember in January when you wrote checks, you still wrote the, like, 2025.
Oh, right.
For
right.
another,
yeah.
Nobody writes checks anymore.
Yeah, there's really no point, is it? Yeah.
Who writes down the date anymore?
Right, yeah. I mean, basically only when I have to fill out something at the doctor, you know? And it's like, that's it.
That I've already filled out 14 times.
Right.
What are you doing with this paperwork? Why do I have to fill it out every single time I come here?
Yeah, and apparently they've only, for all of the doctor's offices, they just recopied a particular sheet that they made back in the 80s because it is the worst copy ever. So, yeah.
Well, I'm glad the Independence Bowl went well.
It was so good.
And anything you're looking forward to in 2026?
Well, you know, man, I'm so thick in the middle of camp right now, trying to plan for the summer, you know, to get some of the final touches.
Really?
Yeah. So we started doing a thing years ago that was the, and you probably have seen this at like Disney, where they have pins that people exchange, the lapel pins and stuff. And
I haven't been to Disney.
Well, neither have I, truthfully. But I hear about it all the time. And so it's this big thing where people trade lapel pins that are different ones. Well, we started doing that with camp probably about 5 or 6 years ago. And so, you know, we last summer to get ready for camp, we had 110 designs and we ordered like 135,000 pins that get exchanged because, you know, the kids will have them almost like football, helmet stickers for all-star games, you know, where each church has their own pin. And so kids will go and they'll talk to another kid and they'll exchange their church's pin with them. And so, that's part of what we do to try and create conversation and stuff. So is this exchange of lapel pins. So right now I'm in the middle of finishing up lapel pins. Yeah. So we got to order them and get them shipped in. So yeah, it's thick right now. So.
Nice.
Yeah. How about you? Got anything? New Year's resolutions?
We'll talk about that.
We'll
talk about that because I'm interested in what people are doing for that.
Yeah.
Mike and McCarty, Jeff Luce in for Aaron, 101.7 FM, 710 Kiel, and be sure to download that free Kiel app.
More breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
Jeff Luce in for Aaron. I think She'll be back Friday. I'm not sure. I didn't text her yesterday. So I'll find out, though. I'll find out. So New Year's Eve to Holly.
Yeah.
Our tradition is when Harry met Sally.
Oh, yeah.
And then good night in bed by 10.
Yes, right, yes. I don't know the last time I actually saw New Year's Eve roll in, so or New Year's Day.
Well, it's when you get up at
4.
What do you say, Ruben?
Dark and early.
Yeah. The butt crack of dawn.
Yikes.
Before. It's hard to stay up till midnight.
Yeah, and why? It's still going to be 2026 at 4 a.m. So, yeah.
And we haven't gone out on New Year's Eve.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Gone in years.
Yeah.
Too many rookies out.
Yeah. Yeah. We do a Christmas party for Fuego staff that we actually do on New Year's Eve. And so that's kind of nice. And
oh, so you got that tonight?
Yeah. Except when I say tonight, it's 4 o'clock.
So yeah.
We go 4 to 7 and then that's kind of it.
So, you guys go have fun.
Yeah, enjoy.
You kids go have fun.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So New Year's resolutions.
Yes.
Do you?
Never.
No.
I mean,
I'm not going to set myself up for failure.
Right.
Or disappointment.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I think I may have tried 2 in my life and it was. Yeah.
Ruben? Any New Year's resolutions?
No resolutions from me. Yeah. I've changed enough this year.
Right. I would like to. I'd love to lose some weight. Love to be healthier.
Right. Right. Right.
But I'm not going to go. Well, this is my.
Yeah, and we're going to do this today. Right. Yeah. No. I really don't remember the last one I made. I was probably 5 and didn't, I'm not going to eat crayons anymore. I don't know what it was, but, it was.
Now, you're not I know you're a sports fan.
Yeah. Yeah. Thoroughly. But mainly college sports.
Okay.
Yeah.
But not F1.
No, but but listening to you guys talk about it, it has definitely piqued my interest. I have paid a little more attention than I did before.
Well, go on Netflix and go look up Drive to Survive and start with season 1.
Okay.
Just not that it's because very few of the guys in season 1 are still with any of the teams they were with back then.
Yeah.
But that's, I remember a buddy of mine when we all worked together, and they're like, have you seen this show? And the other two, we're like, no.
Drive to Survive.
We started watching it.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like a behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And it's more about the stories about the people than the actual races.
Yeah.
And it just got us, man, it got me hooked. And I don't even watch Drive to Survive anymore, because when you follow the actual sport, I think they do the same thing with a golf. I think they have a golf version now where they follow some of these PGA guys.
Yeah. And there's several of those in college football as well.
Okay. So, yeah. And they actually try to create drama.
Yeah.
And drivers are like, Netflix, come on.
Yeah.
And have come out and said, no, Lando and I are not at odds with each other. We don't hate, so I don't even watch.
Right.
I haven't seen Drive to Survive in 2 or 3 years.
Well, and the basic principle of a story is that you got to have a conflict, a crisis, and a resolution. And that's, and so they're just trying to create that. And
right.
I was watching one of these shows that's one of those where they rebuild automobiles and kind of make them into incredible new machines and stuff. And they're just creating drama between the people in the shop. And I guarantee you, they're just like, man, just hand me a wrench. Yeah, I mean, they don't care. It is not.
Mm-hmm.
But they really dig to have those three elements.
So, right. Yeah. And that makes sense.
Yeah.
And I've heard like on a podcast, I listened to some F1 podcasts and they're talking about, say, a subject. And the guy goes, well, this is what I think. What do you think? He goes, well, I know it doesn't make for good listening, but I agree with you. And I thought that's interesting. Yeah, but can't create that drama.
Right.
Mike and Mark Mangum, Twin Blends Northwest Louisiana History Hunter, is going to join us after the top of the hour. Mike and McCarty, Jeff Luce in for Aaron, 1017 FM, 710 Keel. Our board froze. Is the pot up?
Yeah.
Well, this is fun.
Yeah. So, about that F1.
Yeah. Wow. That's interesting. I'm looking at we have the board up on a huge screen.
And nothing's happening.
Nothing's happening.
You know, one of the things that actually with F1, and this is, I can justify this however I want to, but, you know, the real justification for me being interested in F1 at all was that we bought an Xbox years ago, you know, just because it was fun for the kids and it brought their friends in and all of that kind of stuff. And so there is there's an F1 based game on Xbox called Forza. And so you can go to all of the different, tracks all around the world and all of that kind of stuff. And honestly, it's pretty fun. Right. I mean, yeah, you...
Well, the reason I brought it up was because I finally watched the F1 movie.
Oh, yeah.
I was so excited when it first came out, and I did not go see it at the theater. I don't know. It's like when I watched Play Misty for Me.
Okay.
Clint Eastwood, it was like 1967, set in Los Angeles. He was a disc jockey, and it was the crazy girl that called and got it and became obsessed.
Yeah.
And she would always call and say, play Misty for me.
Yeah.
You know? And, but being in radio, when I saw that movie, I was like, bull schnozzle. That doesn't happen. No, and it doesn't work that way. Tell me if it goes.
Let me see here real quick.
Stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
But I didn't watch the F1 movie for the longest time, honestly, because I didn't want to be disappointed.
Yeah.
Now, I am by no means an F1 expert. But like I say, when I watched Play Misty for Me, and Clint Eastwood, when he was on the air, and he took a 3.5-inch reel-to-reel and puts it on the machine and leaves the radio station for 4 hours.
Yeah.
I'm like, no.
Right.
That would run 15 minutes. That reel, if it were full and running at the slowest speed, would not last 30 minutes.
Yeah.
10, 15 minutes.
Oh, man.
So
you've struck a nerve with me and how radio is portrayed in the media.
Yes.
The mic discipline alone drives me insane. They're talking on the air and the mic is a mile away from their face.
Or they turn on the mic and the room monitors don't mute.
Right. Yeah.
They're still playing.
You still hear the music fading.
That's not how it works. So... Even as much as I love WKRP.
Oh, God. Northern Exposure. Watch Northern Exposure.
I've never seen that.
It's a great, great show. And it sort of kind of centers around the radio station
K-Bear
in this Alaskan town. And the radio guy, Chris, he is just... First off, the on-air light is always on. Always. It never goes off. So they're having conversations in the radio station, and it's all going on the air, I have to assume. And then he'll go on a big diatribe, and the mic will be way over here.
Yeah.
And there's no way.
Right.
Anybody could hear him.
Yeah.
But I watched the F1 movie. We got to take a quick break, and I'll talk about that. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Back with more of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Mike and Mark Mangum are coming in after the news top of the hour. And when I was growing up in Bossier, back in the back in the 70s,
you're young and
there was a foster home down the street from where I lived. It was a boys. It was all boys. I don't know how many there were there. Probably five or six boys.
Right.
And one of them was a set of twins. David and Wesley. And they were identical twins.
Right.
Nobody could tell them apart. And granted, when I first met them, I was like, oh, I'll never be able to. Once I got to know, because I hung out with them every single day. Sure. We played football. That was when you played football in the middle of the street.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, right. Everybody goes off. And they were as different as you and I.
Yeah.
Once you got to know them.
Yeah.
I haven't gotten to that point with Mike and Mark.
I know they're listening.
Do a quiz when they come in.
No.
All the twins I grew up around were unidentical, and I'd still mix their names up.
I don't know what to say to that, Ruben. There's no excuse for that.
There's no excuse.
One was Bill and one was Mary. So yeah. That was, yeah.
Well, you know, the thing I didn't realize is that there is a condition called face blindness, and where there are people out there, and pretty much everyone has a varying degree of it, it seems. There are some people who have very little, but basically it's they don't recognize faces at all when you put somebody in a new location. And, you know, we all say that, oh, I didn't recognize it was out of context or something like that.
Well, now I've seen that, like a waitress at Strawn's.
Yes.
And you see her in Lowe's.
Yeah.
Where do I know her from?
Right. But there's a condition that if they're literally, I read a story about a guy that he had met a girl in a coffee shop and they kind of hit it off. They were going to go out on a date. He came back to that coffee shop. She sat in a different place. He walked in, looked around, couldn't find her. She saw him walk out. And thought that, you know, they were, you know, that clearly he wasn't interested. And so then all of a sudden, like literally 2 months later, he walks back into the coffee shop. She's sitting in the place where they first met. And he's like, hey, I missed you. I've been looking for you. And it turns out he had face blindness where he just doesn't recognize people.
That's bizarre.
Isn't that bizarre?
That's bizarre.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, but it is it's an actual medical condition. So
I'll use that as an excuse.
Is your excuse I have face blindness? Yeah, especially with twins. Right.
Well, I'm looking forward. They've got some things working that we'll talk about next hour. Independence Bowl wrapped up.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So
great
awesome.
Success.
Yes.
Beautiful weather.
Oh.
I'm gonna see if I can get in touch with Missy later. I'm not gonna call her now. I'm hoping she's sleeping.
Man, no kidding.
If anybody deserves
this
it.
It's probably the only day of the year she gets to sleep. You know?
she may not want to get before 9.
Right.
So
yep.
But we'll find out what Twin Blends Northwest Louisiana History Hunters has going on for 2026 after the news top of the hour. Jeff Luce in for Aaron, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com. Hold on, I have to swallow. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel. See, this is how you guessed.
Man.
This is how you guessed.
Coming in with the hot Southern Maid.
Hot Southern Maid donuts.
What a win.
I didn't have any, of course. No way. I didn't have one, of course.
No,
one,
there you go.
I didn't have one.
Yeah. As we walked in the door.
Mike and Mark Mangum, Twin Blends, Northwest Louisiana History Hunters in studio. By the way, Jeff Luce in for Aaron on this New Year's Eve. Guys, first of all, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Our
good
mics
to be here.
Not on, are they?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's just yours. It's not
Ruben, right, Ruben takes care of it for you.
Okay, I saw the red light and I thought that was stop. You're not talking.
So tell us what's going on. What do you have planned? We were talking, you posted a picture on the corner. It's a Western Auto.
Yep.
On the corner of
Texas and Market.
Yep. Okay. Yeah.
A lot of history in that building. A lot of history. Yeah.
Well, yes. Used to be,
yeah.
Yeah,
and
gone.
The building's
now.
Gone. Isn't that heartbreaking?
Yeah. It is. It is. We hate to see
it. Of course, the people that own Drip Donuts are like, yeah, it was real heartbreaking.
Yeah.
They had to move out.
Yep. Unfortunately.
When I first saw it, I thought that was what is now the Blind Tiger.
That's what everybody a lot of people think.
Because it had that corner entrance.
Sure. Kind of similar.
Yeah. But I worked at the Blind Tiger building back when it was Chelsea's.
Yep. Oh, wow.
And we used the guy at the owner, I was friends with the owner and the manager, and we went upstairs, and they and I don't know if it's still that way, cuz at one time they were talking about doing a residence up there. Mm-hmm. But there were like cages where they used to do cockfights.
Really?
Upstairs.
Oh, my goodness.
It was just all open.
Wow.
And they had these wooden cages up there. It was crazy.
Wow.
Yeah. It was crazy.
It was Dreyfus or something? It wasn't that far. It was probably in the 20s, 30s, 40s.
Probably something
like that.
Buckaloo before Buckaloo.
Now, Buckaloo, I remember at one time, even when it was still Chelsea's, on the sidewalk, parallel to the bridge, on that wall, that door on the side, there was a
mosaic
in tile, a mosaic in tile, Buckaloo.
Really?
With tile, Buckaloo's was spelled out in
white
tile. And I remember that. Yeah, white and black.
With black lettering,
Yes.
Wow. But before it was Chelsea's, wasn't it TGI Fridays?
Yep. TGI Fridays. Yes.
Yeah, and then you move back from there.
Yeah, we made an AI video a few months ago with Shreve Square, and we added some pictures of that. At the end of it, we had a car wreck into the side of the building, and when we take our tour, we'll ask people, y'all see the video? Do y'all know why we did that? Because that place has been hit by cars since the 20s.
Right.
We come across all kind of pictures from 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s. There's always a wreck there.
Always
hitting
the building.
Hitting that building. Hitting
the
building.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I think they put bollards up.
They have recently. Finally. Thank goodness, yes.
Yeah. It got tired of replacing the front door.
Yeah.
Even our building on Market Street, it's been hit twice since we've been in it.
Really?
And it's like
people go through there fast and they try to run that light and somebody's not paying attention and they pull out.
I was coming up Market. It was raining. I was in my 1973 Ford Pinto.
Oh, wow.
And probably going a little faster than I should have been.
In a Pinto? You can do speed limit?
How is that possible?
I had to stop and get a bottle of transmission fluid every morning and put in there and put it in gear. Okay, now I'm going. This is obviously in the 70s and before the convention center was there, but I was coming up through that intersection and it was, like I say, it was misting, not raining, but the streets were wet. And I said, and the light turned yellow at the next intersection, right? And I thought, oh, let me stop. I slid through that intersection in front of the old Ford dealership building, doing 360s.
Oh, wow.
Fortunately, everybody else did stop.
Right. Yeah.
So I was the only car, and I was spinning in that Pinto and ended up facing the right direction, like
you intended it.
That's
what I do.
Kept going. So I almost went into the building myself.
Oh, great.
Day.
Yeah.
So, awesome. what do we have going on for 2026?
What do we got? Tell them. We're working on podcasts. We got a podcast room set up, and we're working on getting that out. We've got thinking about doing a couple more walking tours long days like today where it's too cold.
And we're working on getting a loft downtown somewhere. We hadn't worked it all out, but we know the location and all that, and that way we'll be able to put our memorabilia in. People have a place to go to see our stuff and all that. So
really,
because everybody's asking us, where can we come see your memorabilia? Working in this and that.
We're working on it. It's not a done deal, but we're working on it.
Yeah, it's in the initial stages. Yeah. So we're excited.
You're talking
about
to 50 Cent? Is that what
you're
saying? he owns all the buildings downtown now.
Yeah.
All the buildings. That's the first time I met you guys. Was the art walk?
The art walk.
And it was at the in the building. Isn't that where
Sears
Rhino?
Sears,
the old Sears building.
Yeah,
24.
And y'all were set up in that lobby.
Yeah,
yeah,
which I love that building. That's such a cool building.
Yeah.
And I remember, and I remember the picture that I was looking at on the table was the police officers on the bridge, the motorcycle officers, the one from the 50s, shaking hands with the current motorcycle officers.
Yeah, we made a blend, a new
that's
cop.
That's we just got started. That's when we first started.
Oh,
doing
okay.
It was probably about 2016 then, so 2017.
Maybe a little later. I don't know, but it was pretty close to that.
Yeah,
I remember we used to have a buddy of mine and I would have lunch at the we just called it the KCS Cafe. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what else to call it, and that building was so cool.
Yeah.
Oh, they opened it back up.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Yep. When did they open it back up?
I don't know. We were at the Capri the other night at that downtown thing, and we talked to the owners there. The owners, and they said it's open. I'm talking about the owners of the KCS.
Yeah, Cafe. Yeah. They were there catering, and they
I forget the name of it, but
I say that because my wife and I were going to the Strand for a show, and I parked up the street a little bit, and I saw activity.
Yep. It's open in the evening.
So we walked across the railroad tracks to go, and I was like, oh, y'all are back open.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I said, how long have y'all been open? And she looked at me and goes, 2 years.
Really?
I said, no.
Not there.
No. And she goes, yes. Argued with me.
Well, really? We drive every time we drive by, I look at that building every time, and I've never seen
too.
Cars.
I know. Wow. So I don't know, but they are back open.
Yeah, the food they were catering is really good.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, we're
going
to try that out. So.
Okay. Well, I got to figure out what it is. But anyway, I remember we were in their lunch, and I said, I wonder if Mike and Mark know about this building.
Yeah.
Stupidest question I ever asked in my life. And I text y'all and you said, well, yeah, we've got a video up. We've got pictures of it right now.
Yeah. Over Facebook. 10 years, we've got Streetport basically covered downtown. So. Somebody'll say, y'all need to do a story on this or that. And we're like, type in Twin Blends and that subject and we got it.
Our favorite is, y'all need to do a story on Hamels. We're like,
we've got like 20 stories on Hamels. And we're making it. AI video. We're going today. We're finishing up an AI video of South Park Mall. You're going to watch this video and think that somebody went in there with a video camera in the 70s and 80s because we get the old pictures, put them to AI, and have people walking around talking. The mall's
That's
busy
amazing.
And packed.
Mm-hmm. The one you did of Shreve Square freaked me out.
Yeah. Isn't that so cool, man? It's so
freaked
cool.
Me
we're
out.
Not big, great fans of AI because there's some stupid stuff out there, but we love it that you can take these old pictures and make it like an 8 or 10 second video. And then we can double it and make it long as we want, but you can have people telling a story walking around, and it looks like we've hired actors to do that.
And they're not even real people.
No.
That's
you can just
amazing.
Say, have a guy walk in from the left and say
But you
this,
have to say from
this.
The 1970s or 1980s.
Right.
Or the, but sometimes when you say that, you come out and you're like, oh,
you
my God.
You got these big bouffant hairdos and these weird clothes, and you're like, that ain't working.
The bell bottoms, Welcome to Shreveport.
Right.
Well, if you haven't seen that video, look up Twin Blends Northwest Louisiana History Hunters Facebook.
Yeah.
It's incredible. Guys, stay with us?
Yep. Yes.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back. Mike and Mark Mangum, Twin Blends Northwest Louisiana History Hunters. Mike and McCarty, Jeff Lucin for airing 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
To the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Well, Jeff Lucin for airing Mike and Mark Mangum. Twin Blends Northwest Louisiana History Hunters is with us. I know you guys do more than just downtown as well, obviously. Trolley, when you come across trolley tracks on Southern or something and the old brick. The brick streets, when the pavement gets torn up, you go, look, there's bricks under here.
And tracks.
Pretty much anywhere there's a bulldozer around.
We see people digging around anywhere in Streetport. We think, okay, what was there? Let's go see if we can find it.
I was going up, I forgot the name of the
Erie
street.
Drive.
Dadgummit. No, it was, if you turned left on Fairfield right next to Betty Virginia Park, that street right there.
It's not Ockley, is it?
No, not Ockley. No,
oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I can't.
You're going by Betty Virginia Park.
Yes.
To Line Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And there's stairs that go down to the park, and there's people that park right there on that, and I'm blank on the name of the street, dadgummit. It's an odd name.
Yeah.
and a lady got out of her car and was heading toward those steps with a metal detector.
Really? Oh, man, she beat us there.
Yeah, she beat us. Yeah.
Yeah.
I still want to get a metal detector.
Well, hey, we just found last night, I looked at the negative collection that we have now, and we found 1925 pictures, three pictures of Betty Virginia Park, and the
you wouldn't believe.
Some, oh my gosh, the
old equipment,
the plate.
Equipment. Oh, I remember in the 70s and 80s, they had the, remember the rocket
ship? Yeah,
the
big
slide.
This was like a Ferris, like a two-person Ferris wheel with the big crane.
Oh, yeah. It was
and like a bench ride.
And we're like, and they're, you know, it's just some weird. Oh, and like say kids are on the ride, and they got the little newspaper cap, you know, that the little boys used to wear and stuff. Yeah. It was old. So.
It's crazy.
Well, I remember going up Marshall one time. And there was a construction, there's a construction company there, and the building kind of went back, and it looked like behind the building was garage bays.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a cool building. So, of course, I stopped. And interesting, I walked in, and I said, hey, is the owner or manager, whatever? And the guy came out. He was super nice. And I said, tell me about this building. He said, this was the old Studebaker dealership.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm.
I said, oh, you're kidding. Yeah. He said, yeah, this is actually, he goes, the bays. He took me back to the back and said, these are the service bays.
Wow.
For the old Studebaker dealership.
Great.
I said, man, and they've done a lot of work on the front. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Not restored to its old, but redone. And I'm like, man, thank you for keeping this building going.
Yeah. Some of the pictures we find, we're like, oh, my gosh, where's this at? And we find it, and the building's still there. We're like, man, this is awesome. Yeah. You can compare then and now. And it's so great that we have the building, some of the buildings that we used to back in the day. That's why we push big to, you know, not tear stuff down to save the history.
Well, like in West End, that new canteen park that they opened up, it's an event area. And we found the front of it when it was Whitfield Furniture. Of course, there's no brick feature front now. Because the front's not there anymore, but it's neat because we found a picture of the furniture store from like 1940 looking straight at the canteen park.
It's called it's called the far end now. They're calling it the West End area.
They're revitalizing and
putting stuff in there.
That's down further down Texas?
Yes. Texas Avenue.
Yes. Davis Men's Store.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
First National Bank.
That's such a neat area.
I forget the guy's name that's revitalizing it.
He's bought some buildings in there.
Super nice.
Okay, nice.
Drive by there and look.
It's the one with the umbrellas. You ever drove by Texas Avenue and they got like probably 200 or 300 umbrellas over as a roof?
Different colored umbrellas and they float. Cool. And it's
an outdoor venue.
Yeah, and they have people sing and there's a coffee shop there and all. Yeah. So, yeah.
Haven't been over there in forever.
Yeah, drive by there and see it.
What about Shreveport Regional? I mean, have you.
Hold that thought because we got to take a break. Can you stay with us?
Yes, sir.
Awesome. Mike and Mark Mangum, Twin Blends, Northwest Louisiana History Hunters, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
For breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Okay, see, I love this on Twin Blends, Northwest Louisiana History Hunters. The first thing that popped up on your Facebook for me was the old Pseudo Records, which was the Cub Beverage Company.
Yeah, is that not cool?
Yep.
Back in 1955, and the
counterculture
was a gas station.
Yep.
Economy Oil.
Yep.
That is.
We've had
look at the
picture.
Guy. Look at the guy's uniform pumping the gas.
Yeah, I know.
With the hat.
Yeah. We've had that picture for a while and been needing to post it. And then somebody
posted it on the Highland Friends group, and they had something about how they loved that old counterculture building, the one on the right.
Yeah,
Who was it? It was John Cush. I didn't even know it. That was the original Pseudo Records.
Yeah.
And they moved next door.
You know
door
what
to that.
Pseudo stands for?
Something out of the ordinary.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
Well, one of the
By the way, Mike and Mark Mangum, Twin Blends, Northwest Louisiana History Hunters in studio. It's always awesome when you guys come in.
We love it.
I just love talking to you about this. The Shreveport history. I talked with Ernie Robertson.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Loved having him in. I remember, I've been here 4 years. Can you believe
that's crazy.
Yeah. 4 years?
Yeah.
And I remember I was talking to Robert one time, and he said, "You got to get Ernie in. You got to get Ernie in."
Yeah. Yep.
And I thought, the registrar of voters? Really?
Yeah. Ernie Robertson? Is a wealth of knowledge.
He is, yeah.
He's one of my favorite people in the whole world.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. My mom was his eighth grade teacher.
Really?
So,
oh
yeah.
Gosh.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. So, way back when. Yeah.
But he has, he's in the Timeline Antiques building next to Byrd High School there. Yep. Which was a theater when I was in high school.
Yeah, well, how do you know that? What was the name of that again there, Mike?
We got kicked out one time. We got kicked out. We did go in there. And the scene was so stupid. We started laughing. And we're just, it was like me and three other guys were going in there, you know. And I think we probably had some beverage. Yeah. And we just died laughing. And they said, "Yo, get out, get that's out." Great. Okay, no problem. We didn't want to touch anything anyway. Yeah, but
interrupting the reputable customers there.
But in that, but the it's Timeline Antiques now.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, there is thousands.
Unbelievable.
Of
Ernie's got a whole setup in there.
We saw another day there, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. But we spent a few hours in there.
How's he doing?
He's doing good. He's doing good. Everybody loves Ernie. Every time we ever post anything, their first comment was, "You need to talk to Ernie." And we're like, "Oh my gosh!"
We had a meeting somewhere the other day, and he was in there, and it was he was just talking about history, and we were just we had our mouths up. We just
there was a group
the stuff
of us
that he knew.
He's
that nobody
more
else
than
knows.
All.
Oh yeah,
great guy too. Great nicest guy,
And would love to and love to share it.
Yep. Great guy.
Mike and Mark Mangum in studio. Jeff is in for Aaron. You guys hang with us.
Yes.
We'll take a quick break. 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Back with more of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Mike and Mark Mangum, Twin Blends Northwest Louisiana History Hunters in studio. Mike and McCarty, Jeff Luce in for the vacationing Aaron McCarty. You guys just did a walking tour, right?
We did. Yes, December the 6th and December the 13th.
Yep. Oh, so you did a couple.
Yep. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had so much
interest. Thanks for calling.
Well, we put it on Facebook about 30 times, Mike. And then people still say, "Dang, I wish I'd have known about it."
And we're like, "Honestly, I said that a minute ago.
Right. You should have had us on before then. You were begging. Can we go on?"
Honestly, the only time I'm on Facebook is if I'm in this room, pretty much. I'm not really a social
thanks
media.
Thanks for your support.
I know. I'm looking at your page now, and I was in the post office right up here on Pines Road. This has been, let me see if I can find out. Yeah, October of last year. I can't believe it's that long ago. And I run
Robert Parrish.
I run into
Big Man Chief.
He just walks in the post office like a normal human being.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I was like, "Oh my gosh." I remember I was at I'll say KRMD back in the 70s, early 80s when he was playing at Centenary.
Mm-hmm,
and we used to carry the games.
Yeah.
And Canterbury.
Yeah.
We used to have a show on there. And so I kind of got to know them.
Yeah.
And so that was really cool. It was really cool. He doesn't know me from, you know, Adam, but it was really cool to see him again.
Yeah,
and you've got it.
Yeah,
and I bring that up because you've got a post here on your.
Yeah, we're talking. It's Byrd and Parrish before Byrd and Parrish. It was Jerry Byrd and Robert Parrish.
Yeah.
Jerry Byrd,
yes.
Of course, famous sports writer.
Yes,
and he did story after story of every sports figure. He was a legend around here, and he did a story on Robert Parrish, and so we posted that.
Yeah, we come across those. That was just cool to see back in the
gold.
Day. Mike colorized them and put them on Facebook.
Yeah,
and,
Jerry Byrd did a story on my daughter when she was swimming. She swam for Cost, and then, of course, went to Auburn. But he did a story, and he'd done some research that she holds a lot of state records. Sorry, I'm dad.
Go ahead.
Allow me for a moment.
Yeah.
But in his article, he was saying her time on I don't remember what it was. He goes, her time today is faster than Johnny Weissmuller's time in the Olympics, the 1932 Olympics or whatever. And for those that don't know Johnny Weissmuller, he was an Olympic swimmer who went on to fame playing Tarzan.
Wow, that just shows you the detail that Jerry went through.
Exactly.
Yeah. That was my point. They didn't have the internet. He looked it all up himself.
He did research on that, and it was fascinating. Yeah. Just, we miss him also.
Yeah. Yep.
So you just did some walking tours. Mm-hmm. Anything scheduled? I know it's kind of
we'll have
cool
some more
now,
probably in January because people say they missed it. You know, they wanted more walking tours and stuff.
And
like
explain
that.
What that is for those that are listening.
We walk up. We take old pictures of. We take old pictures that we found in downtown on Texas Street, and we start at Rhino Coffee, which is the lofts at 624, and we go up to Head of Texas. We cross over in front of the Methodist First Methodist Church. We go on the other side all the way back down to the bridge to Commerce Street and cross over and come back up and end up at Rhino. But we have over 75 8x10 laminated pictures of businesses, pictures that were taken back in the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s.
From the LSUS
that we find
archives.
At the LSUS archives. And we go to the spot where the picture was taken and we say, this is what it used to look back like back then. And sometimes the building's still there and a lot of times it's not.
Right.
And like Woolworths was, Montgomery Ward, JCPenney, mm-hmm. you know, Western Auto. And we show this is what everything used to be, and people are fascinated. We'll be sitting in front of like the JCPenney building. We'll say, okay, raise your hand. Who knows what this used to be? And both tours, nobody knew. We're like, this was JCPenney back
the
in the day. Here's a
JC
picture,
Penny.
You know, and it shows
and
downtown.
And where was this?
Well, it's the Foster building, Foster Campbell building downtown.
Across the street from the. The library.
Shreve Memorial Library.
Oh, okay.
Directly across the street. Yeah. If you go to Twin Blends, Facebook and search Twin Blends JCPenney downtown.
To the left of Noble Savage.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Well, there you go.
That's it.
That's funny.
It.
That's my reference. I know Noble Savage.
Yeah. Yeah. Good place to eat, by the way. Good place to eat.
Amazing. Silpin has done such a great job there.
He's a nice guy. Get the wings. I highly recommend
the food is incredible. It's not a commercial for Noble Savage, but
but it was.
But it was amazing. Guys, hang with us. We've got to take a quick break.
Okay.
I want to go back to the walking tours.
Okay.
Mike and Mark Mangum, Twin Blends, Northwest Louisiana History Hunters. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Well, there's so much that I wanted to still get to. Hamels, just incredible. Yeah.
Yes.
We were talking earlier about Hamels.
Yep.
I remember the train at Hamels. You used to go there ride around.
Oh, Hamels, yeah.
At Hamels, And then Ford Park.
Ford Park
trains. We're right at the same age, so you probably grew up going to Ford Park.
Sure did. Yeah. Sure did. Storyland.
Storyland. Yeah. Mama, the
old lady
Mother
in the
Goose.
Yeah, and Humpty Dumpty. Yeah.
All those buildings. Are there pieces of those things still around?
The train is there and the old fire engine car.
Is the tank still there?
No,
the
tank's gone.
Tank's long gone. Mm-hmm.
The tank is gone.
Yeah. Long gone.
I remember climbing on all that stuff, ringing the bell.
Yeah.
You'd hear that bell on that train.
You're right. I didn't think about that. Peacocks. Remember the peacocks? You could hear the peacocks all over Ford Park.
And you've got pictures, some great pictures of the old Ford Park.
Yep.
Herschel Cobb had the lines out there, Elvis, all the lines and the bear.
Yeah, go to Facebook and type in Twin Blends Ford Park and you'll see tons of pictures and a then and now video that we've made of it too.
Yeah, look, there's the I mean, somebody built all that stuff.
Yeah.
Here. And that was just...
Old Lady in the Shoe.
Lady in the Shoe. That was just... Yeah, that was
great
wonderful.
Memories.
And thank you guys for keeping that going.
Yeah. So
we enjoy it. We enjoy it. And right now we're working on... We'll be posting the next day or two a South Park Mall video. We're using AI for old pictures. Be looking for that because you will actually think that we went to back in the 70s and 80s we walked down the mall with video camera equipment and had people talking in the mall's crowded with people. It will bring back so many
memories.
Remember
the old bridges in the mall down there by Dillard's?
Fountains and stuff.
People walking over the bridges and it's so cool.
Can't wait to see that.
Yeah, it's cool. Good. It's exciting.
And because you did a video, an AI video of Shreve Square.
Shreve Square,
And it looks like people...
Let's go to Humphreys.
And they're not real people.
No.
Well, some of them are. Now, we did A-Train. I mean, not A-Train. We did Exit, the band Exit.
Oh, wow.
They were talking.
Hope Danny and them didn't mind us doing that.
Yeah.
Had them talking and stuff, saying, we're the band Exit.
Yes.
Yep.
Well, if they haven't gotten back with you now, they're probably,
yeah.
I guess we're okay. They're
probably going, we never looked that good.
Yeah. And we got a couple more Texas Street walking tours that people, we had two.
That's what I was going to ask.
Yes. We had one December 6th, one December 13th, and people that missed it, there won't more, so we'll have some more in January and February.
Oh,
it'll be announced.
Oh, great. Oh, and we're working on maybe doing a book because people ask us about a book.
We get that's the number one question. And so we got our sister, she says she's going to help us, so because it's you know, we had other people we're talking to that's done books, and they're going to help us too. So
now, would this be like a collection of your
some of the best photos?
Like now, we probably just a bunch of the stories and stuff that we post on Facebook with old pictures. We can do a blend, but I think I told Mark, I think people are more interested in the old photos and the story behind the old photos. The blends can come
right, and we can have chapters like on streetcars, on steamboats, and. Yeah. Kokomo, you know, different
Hamels
places,
and stuff
Hamels
like that.
And Ford Park. Wow. We'll have different chapters, so that's something.
So if you're interested, let us know. Leave a comment on it. You know?
Yeah. But now that's the number one question we get when we're going to do
the walking tours. Is there a charge?
Yeah. $20 donation, you know, to help us with the fees. Because we just recently bought a large 8x10 negative scanner, and that was pretty pricey. But it allows us to, you know, to bring better product, you know, better sound equipment, better, you know, camera equipment.
It helps us to save history.
And how, if somebody wants to, go to your Facebook page.
Facebook page. We have a Patreon account. We have a Venmo. They can do PayPal if they want to make donations. And like I say, anything like that just to help us save
history. On the walking tour, a guy walked up to us, how can I help? And he wrote us a check right there. And that helped pay for that large negative.
That's awesome. Guys, fastest hour in radio.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
So much.
We love it. We love it. Thanks, Jeff. Thanks, Mike.
Oh, so glad. So glad you guys are
Thanks, Ruben.
Mike and Mark Mangum, Twin Blends, Northwest Louisiana History Hunters. Check them out on Facebook. You'll be scrolling for an hour before you know
100%.
It. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel. FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty. Thank you for spending a little time with us this morning. Jeff Luce in for Aaron. I think she'll be back Friday. We're off tomorrow, obviously.
Everybody will be thrilled. She is the best. So, yeah.
Hopefully she's had a good time on her days off. Let me do some follow-up. Mike and Mark Mangum were with us last hour, Twin Blends Northwest Louisiana History Hunters, and the message board just blew up. Of course, people love Twin Blends and Mike and Mark. They're great local guys that are keeping the history. We lost a treasure with Eric Brock, the Shreveport historian. I love Shreveport history, and so I love having these guys in. And some of the things we were talking about, the KCS Cafe, downtown, and that was opened a little while. Somebody went in and kind of redid the building and opened, but it did. Unfortunately, it didn't last too long, but they have reopened. And my wife and I went in there because I was so excited that it was back open.
Yeah.
And the girl was like, oh, we've been open 2 years or 3 years. I said, well, no. but we got a message that says, Crew Events is the business in the KCS Cafe. It's KRUE. And it has been at least three different businesses over the last few years. Right. I knew that. They have been in business that long, just not in that location. And so Lamar Flukers is the developer.
Okay.
So that's cool. Lamar, thanks for keeping that going. Trebue Street.
Yes.
Is the street between Fairfield and Line Avenue that runs next to Betty Virginia Park.
Yeah.
I cut up that street because it's almost not a residential street.
Right, right.
And so you can when I'm going from say 49, I cut up Fairfield and then Trebue to get to Line Avenue.
And a lot straighter than Ockley. So, you know, makes that pass through.
Yeah. Ockley's an odd street if you follow it. You know, Ockley goes all the way to St. Vincent.
Yeah.
It's really strange the way Ockley runs through the town. We were talking about Ford Park.
That's remarkable.
Ford Park was amazing. It really was. It breaks my heart that all those buildings and attractions are gone. They still have the train, I think, is set up out there.
And there was a zoo there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a zoo. Now, it wasn't the San Diego Zoo,
right.
But it was cool.
Yeah. Well, you know, because
when you're 6 years old and you're seeing an elephant.
Yes. Yes.
That's pretty awesome.
Right. It's not a petting zoo. I mean, it's an actual, I had totally forgotten about it. And then because we moved away when I was 5, we moved to Houston and then we moved back when I was 12. But so during that time from, I guess, 0 to 5 is when mom and dad took me out there. And I had no idea about it until you told me about the shoe. Old lady in the shoe, that building, and
all
that,
the Mother Goose stories were depicted,
and I remember going out there. Yes, and so that was really cool because I did not know where that memory came from, and so until today.
And they had peacocks that were
said there were tons of them, right?
It was awesome.
Yes.
They had a fire truck.
Mm-hmm.
They had the train engine, the old-style train engine, and you could ring the bell.
Yeah, I remember that.
And when you were out there, that bell was going constantly, kids climbing on that. And they had a tank, World War II tank. Mm-hmm. I think it might have been a Sherman, but I don't know. But we got a message that said the tank was moved to Fort Humbug and sits next to the entrance on Stoner Avenue.
What do you know?
Yeah. So that's the tank from Fort Park.
That's the tank that we see all the time. Yeah.
That's awesome. That makes it even more special.
Yes, yes.
Not that it's not special being a World War II tank.
Yeah, but you get to see it now. It's in such a prime location, and that's really nice. Yeah.
Brian, I'm sorry I didn't see your message. It didn't come in until just about 8 o'clock. He said, ask them, Twin Blends, if they have anything on the old concert venue that used to be off Clyde Fant by the VA. I'm too young for it, but my brother told me he saw major rock acts back in the day. That's the old Veterans Park.
Yeah.
And it had an amphitheater that looked out over the water. You went up it kind of toward the VA from Clyde Fant. Awesome. I saw Stevie Ray Vaughan. In fact, I worked for KMBQ. We brought Stevie Ray Vaughan to that park one year, obviously in the mid-70s.
So it was an outdoor venue
late 70s, maybe early 80s.
What do you know?
It was an outdoor venue.
Yeah.
It was incredible. It was so awesome. But, Brian, they do have a video of the old Veterans Park. They did a drone tour.
Mm-hmm.
It was a wooden amphitheater style stage that was set up over the water, which was incredible because you know how sound travels over water.
Yeah.
It was a perfect amplifier for live music. And they did Mike and Mark did a drone tour of that. And some of that building I think is still there. It's crumbled.
Yeah.
It was all wood. And then they have some old home video that somebody posted or donated to them from a concert back in the day.
Really?
So there's all these people in their 70s shorts.
Yes. And bell bottoms. Right.
What? So, Brian, they do have some stuff on there about the old Veterans Park. It's awesome.
I didn't even know that existed. I don't remember that at all.
Really?
So, yeah. I mean, I guess I never went out there for anything, but that would be really neat to see that was on.
Yes. Well, look that up because you'll be going, I hate I missed this.
Right. Really sounds great.
So
Shreveport's always had, over the years, I mean, I remember going to things at the municipal. I remember back in the 80s to see Amy Grant at the Municipal Auditorium way back in the day, and that was kind of a fun place. I loved going in there. My grandparents used to take me to the wrestling matches, you know, every week in the Municipal Auditorium. So
my favorite time at the Municipal, in addition to all the amazing shows, was doing a tour. They do tours.
Oh.
And they have you, it's a paid event. You go and you get 15 or 20 people or whatever.
Right.
And you go and you get to go down in the basement and you get to go backstage and you get to go see upstairs all the dressing rooms.
Yes.
But that was awesome. But I also did that on my own one time. there was a hayride. They had a CD collection.
Mm-hmm.
My 15 CDs of the old Hayride broadcasts.
Oh, wow.
And it was incredible. And this CD collection got nominated for a Grammy. And so they were having a big party at the municipal auditorium.
Right.
A lot of the, some of the old Hayride members from the Hayride band were there.
Yes.
The governor was there. I didn't shake his hand. It wasn't the current governor. They had, it was just a really cool event.
Uh-huh.
And I kind of snuck out and did my own tour.
Yes.
And I went upstairs and I got to explore the whole building. Just amazing. There's a jail cell in the basement.
I heard about that. Yes.
That was built for a film that was shooting here.
Okay.
It was, yeah. And it's still, well, it was at that time. I'm assuming it's still standing.
Yeah.
So it was
It's such a great building. I love the fact that you gave yourself your own tour. That's just good stuff.
It was great.
Yes.
Nobody was paying any attention to me.
Yeah. Back in those, well, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I just, we gotta take a break. Sports is next. Jeff Luce in for Aaron, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Jeff Luce in for Aaron. Aaron's on vacation. I'm thinking she'll be back on Friday. We'll find out. If not, you'll be back on Friday.
Would love that. I mean, well, except that means that she wouldn't be here. So everybody would prefer that. I get it.
Yeah. No, she would prefer it.
Yeah. So,
which I don't know why she would come in on Friday.
Have a day, another day. Yeah.
You're out. You're off all that time, then come in one day, then you're off for the weekend. It doesn't make sense to me, but I hope she does.
Yes.
We were talking about collecting things.
Yes. Yes. And so
you mentioned yesterday you collect football programs.
Programs. Yes.
Old football, which to me that's,
I do. Yeah.
Fascinating that somebody would want to collect that.
They're just really interesting to look through for me. You know, just
like
being
an example of what.
So, I mean, obviously, a lot of what I collect are Texas A&M.
Okay. Old,
you know, and so seeing the field that they would have pictures of, and honestly, though, like even some of the ads that would show up.
Oh,
that,
those old ads are
so,
the best.
So fascinating. I mean, so much were, you know, even like an old Coca-Cola ad, but it, truthfully, so much of the old advertising in those programs were cigarettes, you know, and you've got these two cartoon figures happily enjoying a cigarette, you know, both whom are dead now. But, you know, it was that kind of thing. And so I enjoy looking through those things.
So you're talking old stuff.
Yes. I mean, yeah, I've got some that are 40s that are early 40s.
That is fascinating.
Yeah, and so, like, for instance, A&M, the very first mascot our mascot is Reveille, which is a border collie. But the first one was a dog that some of the guys found on the way to a game, and there was a picture of that dog. And so that was pretty fascinating to see. But, man, my wife called me out so bad when I said, because, again, I don't collect autographs and stuff, but apparently
so
I just.
So you're like, I'm not a collector.
Yeah, I don't really collect things. She sent me a list of the things that I collect. Apparently I collect hammer seasonings, reader glasses, so many cords, she says, light bulbs, keys, screws, wood scraps, lanyards, vitamin boxes, bank bags, and and opened bags of chips. So she was like, what do you mean you don't collect anything? Yeah, you're right.
Vitamin boxes?
Well, I like those little weekly vitamin, you know, plastic boxes that, you know, have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Oh, okay. And so pill dispenser things.
Yeah, and so I'll put my vitamins in there. Like, so if I buy a pack of Centrum, I just go ahead and empty out the bottle. And so I probably have, I don't know, 52 weeks of those so that I don't
have to
distribute them. Yeah.
Well, I still have an item that I bet you have. I bet you have.
All right.
It's a leather paperweight.
With
classic Reaper graphics.
Well, what do you know? Yes,
I still have that in my office.
Wow.
It's full of sand.
Yeah, yeah. The, and uh, or it may be even little metal pellets in there. I'm not really sure what's in them.
I think this is sand.
Is it? Okay,
because
yeah.
Because it's got a little small leak. I don't move it because sand will come out.
It's a map weight is what they're called.
Yeah.
And so,
or like when you would roll out plans, you could just drop them
those
on the corners.
Exactly. Yeah, and so we
that's what I figured it was.
Yeah, we have, there is one part of my wife's card, the console, that rattles. And so we have a map weight sitting on that spot. Yes.
I love it. Yeah. Jeff Luce in for Aaron, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
Stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Jeff Luce in for Aaron McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty. We were talking earlier this morning. You've been in radio before. You're an old radio star. Of course, you were the Keel Sports Kid.
Yes, yes, the Keel Sports Kid. Yes, that
but
was.
But you also worked at the mega powerhouse.
KJOE. Yes.
Now, when did you work at KJOE?
So it was my freshman year of high school. So this was been 1980.
Okay.
And apparently they had gone through some financial difficulties. And so they had narrowed the place down to just a portable building that was sitting next to the tower out on Dixie Blanchard Highway.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. And so,
now, see, I remember KJOE.
Yeah.
They were in, you said it was the Slattery building.
They were, yeah.
It was the downtown. Slattery building where Guys and Dolls was down in the basement.
And Lena Shoes is still on the first
Lena
floor.
Lena Shoes on the corner is still
there. They're there. Yes.
But up, I don't remember what floor it was, but on the same floor was KFLO.
Oh, yeah.
And that was my very first job in radio at KFLO on Saturday mornings, like 6 to noon. I went in and just, it was a Christian radio station.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And I ran programs, which consisted of putting reels on the machine and making sure they fired off and... I would do the weather. I don't know that I was supposed to or not, but I wanted to be on the air.
Oh, well, when we were at KJOE, it was
down the hall on the same floor. Well, as a matter of fact, KJOE was in the Slattery building.
Yeah.
And it was so cool. They had those old doors with the glass pane on the front, with the lettering,
the name
stenciled on the door. Those dark wood doors, just a really
beautiful
cool. I haven't
building.
Been in since then, so I don't know if it's still that way.
Yeah, and I don't even know if you have access to the upper floors anymore. Honestly, I don't. I know Guys and Dolls is
that's been gone. That was in the mid-70s,
right?
And I used to put on a show. Put on one of the shows that, you know, some of the shows were 15 minutes, 20 or maybe a 30 minute show.
Yep.
And I would run downstairs because it was Saturday morning.
Yep.
And around the corner to Pano's Diner.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And I would get breakfast and bring it back to the to the radio station from Pano's Diner.
Yeah, and Theo's was around the corner and all of that. Well,
that was too far away for me to go from that.
It'd have to be a really long take, right? Yes. Well, when KJOE went through their tough times, basically they showed up at my high school. I went to Trinity Heights, and they asked if there was anyone who'd be interested in doing the weekends. And so it was myself and Gary Newell, if you know Gary.
Oh, of course. And Gary still works at Channel 3.
And he is the best. He is such a great guy.
He was at 98 Rocks forever.
Well, this was his first radio job, too.
Okay.
And so it stuck for him. But yeah, for me, and when you guys were talking earlier about the amount of time, I remember there was a kitchen timer that was in that portable building. And it was, I had to open it up in the mornings. And so at 6 a.m. on a Saturday morning, I'm there opening the station, turning on the power for the antenna. But then I would put on one of those reels, and I would set the kitchen timer for like 28 minutes and fall asleep on the floor.
I worked at KCOZ.
Oh, yeah.
FM 100. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Beautiful music.
Yes.
And it was those great big reels.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I was overnight at the Logan Mansion.
Wow.
Which was supposedly haunted.
Oh.
Yeah. I was there overnight and never saw anything.
Yeah.
But I would sleep on the floor in front of that machine.
Yes. Oh, yeah. It was a great place to take a nap. So,
101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty, Jeff Luce in for Aaron.
Back with more of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Liz asked, did y'all ever eat at the old Baptist Tea Room in First Baptist Church downtown?
Wow.
Is it First Baptist Church downtown, or is that the Methodist Church?
At one point, there was a First Baptist Church downtown.
Okay.
Yeah, but that was, I've just seen the historical sign for it. So,
she said, my dad felt it was wrong to sell food in church, but I had friends that went often with their grandpa.
Wow.
I don't remember that, Liz. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. I did eat at the Washington Urey back when that was the Washington Urey Hotel. They had the best hamburgers. They were so good.
Where was that?
So where the Louisiana Tower is now. So, the original Shreve Memorial Library, which is where the Chamber of Commerce is.
Oh, I love that building.
Okay, it was directly across the street. So,
which way?
Coming toward Market Street. Sorry, I am directionally challenged as far as north, south, east, and west. So I guess that's toward Bossier. So, yeah. So I guess that would be east. Yeah.
Is that the where the Independence Bowl office was?
No, that's the American Tower.
American Tower.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know the names of the buildings.
Yeah. So
I've only lived here all my life.
Well, you know, the American Tower was supposed to be a twin originally. When they first put it in, the mirrored building downtown, it was supposed to have a twin right next to it.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And then...
Where? What was going to disappear?
It's the parking. The drive-through parking that's behind the American Tower was actually, there was going to be another building sitting right there. I mean, and it's just the right footprint to add a second one if they wanted to. But I think money, you know, the economy changed. Right after they finished that building.
And when was that?
The 80s. Okay. I mean, it was like when the oil dropped out. I think they started building the American Tower in like 79 or something like that.
Okay.
So, yeah. But, yeah. So it was quite the place.
And you know all of this because your family, you still own the building downtown.
Downtown,
you
yeah.
You guys had Classic Reaper Graphics.
We did, yeah. There's a big
printing
wildlife.
Company.
Yeah, so Don Edwards painted a big wildlife mural on the side of it back in 99, and so that's how most people recognize
it. Has it been there that long?
Yeah, so that's how most people recognize the building.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so, yeah, when Mom and Dad had that business, my best friend at the time, George Gruno, and I used to just walk downtown after we would get picked up from school, and we had 2 hours from the end of school until everything closed up.
Closed the business,
So we would roam downtown all afternoon. So it was a lot of fun. And it was a great place to grow up, honestly. It was very safe at that time, so... But
it's safe now.
Yes, it really is. Yeah, I shouldn't have said it that way. I didn't mean it that. I just meant for a 12-year-old to be roaming.
Cedric Glover just went,
yes. No. Look, I'm telling you, man, I'm downtown almost every day. It's great down there. It really is a super place. And it's and I was just qualifying it that most people wouldn't let their 12-year-old just run aimlessly through downtown.
Right.
And that's you know, for 1977, it really was not.
Back in the day, my parents never knew where I was until dinner time.
Right, yeah.
We never came home.
Yeah.
We had a bicycle and 8 hours of freedom.
Yep.
We were gone.
Yeah. Well, when we were first down there, there were three hotels all basically on, you know, next to each other because you had the Washington Urey that backed up to the Captain Shreve Hotel, and the Captain Shreve was across the street from the Downtowner Drive, you know, like a motor home, motor hotel. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so, so they were all right there. So apparently downtown was quite the place for travel. I mean, and still you've got a couple downtown that are seem to be doing well. So. But yeah, it's I love downtown.
I do too. Yeah. I do too. Yeah. I lived at the Fairmont for
back
in the early 80s.
Yeah, with their
and worked at Chelsea's. I would walk to work. It was awesome.
Yes. Yeah.
Jeff Luce in for Aaron, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
I'm actually jealous. You've got a picture on your Facebook page from the Independence Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, you had awesome seats.
Yeah, it was great.
Wow. Yes,
absolutely. My sister Susan was in town, and so she bought tickets for all of us, and we ended up, yeah, in great, you know, chair backs. Hey, and by the way, man, if you haven't sat in those chair back seats that they have, they're fantastic. It seems like that they've got a little bit of air cushion to them as well. And so when you sit, they, you know.
No, that's just you.
Yeah, okay, I've got an air cushion, thanks. Yeah.
But yeah. I say that from personal experience.
No. It's okay, I'll stay in this boat by myself. Nice. They were super nice, super comfortable. But yeah, we were, you know, we weren't midfield, but we were really close. And again, you know, just such a.
And pretty low.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were on rows AA and Z. And so we were just at the, you know, 26th, 27th row up. But that's like where I like to be. I mean, those are perfect seats as far as being able to see the whole field and plays develop and things like that. So it was really nice. But so big thanks to my sister for taking care of it.
Yeah, beautiful day.
Yes. Absolutely.
I hate that I missed it. I missed it. It was a 1 p.m. kickoff and I had to work. I had texted Mayor Chandler from Bossier, and he said, "Hey, come by my tailgate." And I said, "Dude, I got to work." And he goes, "Call in sick." I said, "I can't. I'm not an elected official."
Yeah.
So I hate I missed it.
I'm telling you, for anybody, I mean, really, it is an event well worth spending, you know, for all of us to support, because it is such a good thing. The way that
it's a huge deal. And I don't know that people realize what a big deal it is that we have a nationally televised bowl game.
Yes, they don't know how rare that is. And, you know, and I realize that everybody's trying to negotiate the way that the playoffs are going to work with the bowl games and all of that. And I think that there's a path going forward that's going to be good for us and for, you know, just college football in itself. But for us to be able to have, and it's like the 11th longest running bowl. I mean, you're talking Rose Bowl was number one, and then you go from there. I mean, literally, we're within 10 spots of the Rose Bowl. I mean, that is a...
I thought it was even higher than that, honestly.
Yeah, maybe it is. I could be wrong, but I know that it is.
One of the longest running... Mm-hmm. 1976 was the inaugural Independence Bowl.
And when they had actual Omar Bradley at those games, I met him at one of those games.
Really?
Yeah, as... When I was the KJOE, I mean, I'm sorry, the Keel sports kid. And
you had a media pass.
Well.
You printed at your parents' printing company.
So I really wanted to meet these people. And so I think they all knew it was fake.
Do you know who the first recipient of the Omar Bradley Spirit of Independence Award was?
No.
I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, John Wayne.
Really?
I think it was John Wayne.
Wow.
1976.
Yeah. What do you know? Yeah, I mean, it was...
Who was here in Shreveport.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, actually seeing... I mean, well, Omar Bradley would have been the one who went out there to present it, or at least was with him.
That's amazing.
Because I know that in, you know, 79, 80, mm-hmm. somewhere in there is when I was out there. And, you know, Omar Bradley was in a wheelchair by that point, but he was very kind and just such a fine man.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So
Erin will be here Friday. I texted her, so she will be in Friday.
All right.
So thank you so much.
Thanks for letting me come. And Erin, thank you for letting me come. But all of Shreveport will be excited to have you back.
Jeff Luce, Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel. Happy New Year.
See y'all next year.